Jesus is ascended. He is ascended indeed. We're not used to that, are we? Today we are paying attention to, again, the Christian calendar, as we usually do here at First Baptist. But we are really being intentional about making this stop at Ascension. And in the church calendar, traditionally, Thursday was Ascension of our Lord Day because it was 40 days into the 50-day season of Easter. And so some liturgical Christian calendar churches actually have a service on Thursday, but no one would come to ours. So we moved it to Sunday. And so we made it Ascension of our Lord Sunday so that we could stop with this part of the story. As we journey towards next Sunday, which, as I said earlier, is Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about the ascension of the Lord. And even on the front of our bulletin today, we have the banner, Ascension of Our Lord, and this picture of Jesus rising among his disciples. And we say it every month. When we say the Apostles' Creed, the affirmation of our faith, there's this phrase, he does what? Ascended into heaven. He ascended into heaven. And I wonder, do we realize the wonder and even the outlandishness of that phrase in our creed, or does it just kind of fly off our lips? Imagine talking to your seldom goes to church coworker or family member about this. Yeah, so Jesus ascended into heaven. What might she or he say? Jesus ascended into heaven. So he just kind of, like a rocket ship, went up and kept on going. And if I went in a rocket ship, I might get there too. It's pretty amazing, right, that we say that. Jesus ascended into heaven. And why does that matter? And what is he doing there? Well, if you read the creed, Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. But is that like a place that if I could go in a rocket ship, I could get there too? Have you thought of these things, or is it only nerdy preachers who do this? But we preach it, we believe it, we teach it. It's a really important part of our story, because if Jesus ascended into heaven, then the other parts of the story come true. Then he led the 11 and their companions out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. We just read that this morning and we said, thanks be to God. No one stood up and said, wow, that is really amazing. That is really befuddling. So I hope we'll just pause and let this story kind of ruffle us up a bit. Let's try to wrestle with this, he ascended into heaven. If we take a few steps back in the story, we're reminded of why ascension is so integral and important to the way of us following Jesus today. And that doesn't make it any easier to comprehend, but we go back to verse 36 in this morning's story. If you have your Bibles open, verse 36, in his post-resurrection body, Jesus for 40 days has been kind of freaking out his disciples time after time. And he stands amongst them and he says, peace be with you. Perhaps he says this because he looks in their eyes each time he walks through the walls of locked doors and he sees their open eyes and their jaws dropped, and he feels like he needs to assure them. And so he says time and time again, peace be with you. And in today's Jesus story, the 11 are once again startled and terrified. Jesus says, why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Imagine James and Peter and John marveling at their once dead friend and shouting, "It's true! The teacher is alive. What Mary has said, he is risen." And Jesus interrupts the frenzy of emotions and outbursts with a very practical question. "Hey, fellas, got anything to eat?" And Peter, of course, yes, jumps and grabs a clay dish and puts in some broiled fish and some pita bread and adds some dry fruit. "Yes, of course, you're not a ghost. Eat, eat, Jesus, please. And wash it down with a splash of wine while you're at it. Though I'm going to secretly see if it spills out of your side, friendly spirit." Days later, we read that the disciples and their companions are stuffed. They're overwhelmed, their minds are getting full, their hearts are overflowing as they complete what Thomas may have called the everything written about Jesus in the prophets and Moses and the Psalms boot camp. EWJ University, everything written about Jesus. And it's rigorous and it's mind-blowing. And you can imagine the disciples trying to put two and two together. "Jesus, you mean when the burning bush says, 'I am that I am,' that's you?" And Jesus, "Yeah, that's me." Can you imagine trying to put these stories? When the Psalms are writing about the suffering servant, that's you? When the prophets are talking about this one who will come riding in on a donkey, oh, that's you. Imagine this crash course on everything written about the prophets, the Psalms, and Moses. Jesus opens their minds and hearts to understand the scriptures, and he keeps on repeating these new marching orders. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness will be proclaimed. It's not just for you. Yes, we start in Jerusalem, but we're going worldwide with this message. James and John maybe push back a wee bit and go, "Jesus, have you seen who we is? We're uneducated. We're underachievers. We are the marginalized people of society, and you're going to go worldwide with this message? We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough sustenance." And I would imagine Jesus had to once again breathe on them and say, "Peace be with you." He says, you are witnesses of these things. See? And I am who I am. And maybe it harkens them back again to that bush story. And the lights go on again. I am who I am. And they remember that old story of Moses and Moses encountering God and wondering if his speech would be eloquent enough. But then Yahweh, I am, said, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I? Says the Lord. Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." And see, Jesus says, "I am coming, sending upon you what the Father promised. Remember when I just talked to you recently in the upper room when you were troubled hearted and I said, I am sending a second Parakletos, a second one who will be your advocate, the one who comes alongside, the one who comforts you. But I need to go away for that to happen. See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay in the city here until you are clothed from power on high." Then he leads them as far out as Bethany. Lifting up his hands, he blesses them, and while he blesses them, he withdraws and is carried into heaven. And so we say in our creed, he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And in today's story, we read the 11 and their companions worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. And so on Ascension Sunday, 2016, we get to join these waiting and worshiping disciples, don't we? Because don't we find ourselves kind of hanging in this part of the story with the disciples? Yes, they got to see it firsthand, but we have been hearing about this story and waiting and worshiping with them ever since. And that's good news, because the good news is because Jesus is ascended, the second Parakletos has come. And so we worship, but we also do other words. We worship, but we also, I hopefully get our minds blown and say, what are you doing, Spirit? How are you broadening the story? How are you opening up the borders of who can get in, who is welcomed in to the kingdom of God? Who am I supposed to be inviting in to this story of grace and mercy and welcome and hospitality? And maybe we also say, wow, wait up, Jesus. In this season of Easter, we've been trying to pay attention to this Jesus who is on the loose, this Jesus who goes ahead of us and brings to life dead things, dead hopes, dead dreams, dead relationships. And we've been trying to have our eyes open to that. So we worship, but we also say, what? And we also say, wow, Jesus, wait up. But we're also called to work. We're not left off the hook to just relax and bathe in the glory. Jesus talks about this work of proclamation, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And so as we close with today's story, I invite you to pause and reflect, and where might Jesus be inviting you to live into this story and then live out of it this week? Perhaps it is worship. Perhaps you're needing to simply be in this place, worshiping with other believers, glorifying God, telling the stories of God's faithfulness in the midst of joy, sorrow, the mountaintops, or the valleys. Or maybe it's exploring what the Spirit's doing, being open to what this second Parakletos, this one who comes alongside each one of us today, because Jesus is ascended, Jesus now is with every one of us, Spirit whispering to us, encouraging us, comforting us, advocating for us. And so we say, Jesus, wow, wait up. We're coming. We're joining you. We want to be a part of this good news. Not only in this community of faith, but we want to start here, but we want to go into those places that we're called and sent to week after week, even joining those people who take this message and good news to the ends of the earth. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to your heart, to comfort, to advocate, to encourage, to inspire. But before we go into that 30 seconds, grab your pink insert that has some prayers on it for Ascension. And after our 30 seconds of silence, we're going to close with the litany. The bold-faced part of that litany, that prayer, will be us together. And then I'll read the other font that's not bold-faced. And we will proclaim how God is on the move because Jesus has ascended. Let's quiet our hearts and listen for the Spirit. And let's pray together. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new world has broken into ours. Justice will come for the poor, freedom for the prisoners, healing for the sick. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new community has been formed. Loving and caring will flourish. The abandoned and rejected will be welcomed. All people will find a place of belonging. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new creation has begun. All that was distorted is being restored. All that was corrupted is being renewed. All that was broken is being made whole. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, God's new world has begun.